radicals in University Hall look out the windows and see police paddy wagons roll into historic Harvard Yard. They sing what they call their victory song, "We Shall Not Be Moved." Police from Cambridge and other towns and state police unload, helmets on, billy clubs in their hands. WHRB reporters Bob Luskin and Chris Wallace.
Spectators before. The policemen are pushing out the demonstrators at the doors on the other side now also.
They're attacking the doors on the other side. Now the people who were spectators before are shouting, "Nazi must go." The policemen are milling around at the foot of the stairs there, swinging their nightsticks apparently to encourage themselves. WHRB will stay here until the end of this demonstration. The policemen are looking up, looking at me now. I'm going to switch to the other side. We certainly hope they've been informed. All right, I'm moving to the other side. They apparently have attacked the other window now. Bob Luskin, WHRB. They've cleared off all the stairs. Dear, please clear this.
Not the stairs.
You can clear this window for me, please. I'd like to see what happened. The policemen are pushing spectators, bystanders. They're pushing everybody who's anywhere in sight. A fight is breaking out now downstairs. They're trying to clear the stairs, and they're succeeding fairly well. With the nightsticks held to their chest. The stairs are cleared.
Policemen appear to be clubbing students, but nobody appears to be injured as of yet.
The stairs are cleared on all sides. Fights are breaking out all over.
The state police are now moving around to the other side.
The state police are moving around. The state police and columns are moving around to the other side. The stairs are clear. It now appears that the policemen, the Cambridge, the Alton, the Newton policemen will be used to hold the crowd back while the state policemen will attack the building. This appears to be the battle order. The state policemen are moving around to the other side, the entire platoon of them, while the local policemen, they're pushing students over into steam tunnels and into bushes now. The students can't move back at all. There's no place these students can go, but the policemen are pushing them nonetheless. Chris is reporting on the back. Chris?
Well, all the action is now over here because they have driven all the students away from the other side of the building. They have brought them all over on this side, the side that faces in on Harvard Yard, in on Widener Library, if you've ever been here. And this is where all the students are now. They've been driven away from the stairs. Dean Glimp is addressing University Hall.
Dean Glimp says you have 5 minutes to leave. That's Dean Glimp telling me 5 minutes. Now, here's the plan of order here. Policemen... We see a policeman there beating up a student. There's one policeman here, he's got a student. The municipal policemen are being used to hold the crowd back. The state police are masked on all four doors. The municipal police are holding the crowd back. Dean Glimp has told the people inside the building that they have 5 minutes. The crowd is now shouting Sieg Heil at the policeman. Lined up on each stairway. 5 minutes. The ultimatum was given about 2 minutes ago. We have about another 3 minutes to wait to see whether...
They have got out the tubes which normally used for chemical gas warfare.
They've gotten the tubes out for gas warfare. Apparently, the tear gas which we heard before was not... The state police are moving on the stairs now. Yes, they do. They have battering rams. They have battering rams, and they have a tube for gas warfare. It looks like we will indeed be gassed. I'm moving around to the other side now. We're just moving from side to side on the office here. We're going to try and see what's happening there. Apparently, action is a little bit thicker on this side. I'm coming. I'm down the stairs here. I'm down on the first floor landing. Our microphone, they're preparing to use a battering ram on the door. We see six to eight policemen, right, at least 50 state policemen, six to eight with a battering ram, directly below our microphones. We can hear the people, the SDS people inside saying, smash ROTC, no expansion. The police are waiting to use the battering rams. This is certainly a no-holds-barred assault. I think this is a great deal more severe than anything we expect. Bikes are breaking out another end of the yards. They're moving on the northwest door. It's impossible for us to cover all the action which is occurring. The deans are moving. Dean Glint is directly below us.
The state police have entered in the other side of University Hall. While all the attention was focused on this side, they are now about 20 feet from us, moving through the faculty room. There are approximately 40 state police on the other side of University Hall. They have taken over the entire second floor here.
Dean Glint has entered the building.
Press.
State police are here. Press. We're going to try and cover what happens. You're being pushed aside. We're pressed. Press. We're being forced back into the second floor, but we can still see what's happening downstairs. We're going to continue broadcasting live. State policemen are moving with us into Dean Ford's office, where members of WHRB are remaining. We'll be able to see the final assault downstairs. The state police now are going to be able to move on the demonstrators, both from the second floor and from the first floor. The demonstrators, for all practical purposes, are trapped completely. There is some fights breaking out next door. They broke in a glass door. Gentlemen, there's an open door on the other side. They just broke in a glass door up here before they went around to check to see that there was an open door on the other side of the same building. But these things are to be expected in this kind of a situation. The state police are going to be able to move from both directions now. There are state police who came in from the west side of the building that are going to be able to come down the second floor. This other state police with Dean Glimp on the northeast side of the building are waiting with the battering ram. They've opened the doors. The question of whether or not press. They're standing around waving the nightsticks at us, and as long as we show the press cards, we assume we're going to be able to continue broadcasting. I hate to think what would happen if we didn't have them with us right now. They've made no effort to move these people downstairs. Apparently, they're going to wait till the demonstrators are cleared out downstairs before they move those people remaining upstairs out of the building. The Massachusetts State Police are standing at the top of the second floor. We don't know what's happening downstairs, however. We're moving into the faculty room now. We're standing in the landing. Gentlemen, you're going to be using tear gas if you can't get them out of downstairs. No one's going to answer us, I'm quite sure. All right, they're starting to move downstairs now. The second floor is secure. We're standing in a group of about 15 to 20 police officers now. The second floor is secure. They're just going to wait here. Apparently, the drive is only going to be from the direction of the first floor. You can hear the fighting going on downstairs. Ambulances are moving out. Policemen are moving upstairs. Apparently, there have been some severe injuries. They're getting ready to go downstairs now. The state police are preparing to move on the first floor. The demonstrators are massed in the two hallways going east-west on the north and south side of the building. We don't know what they're going to do next. We're going to stay with you. Police are moving up to the third floor now, a large group of them. Apparently, some kind of debris has been coming from the third floor. This is probably why the state police are moving upstairs. We don't know exactly what's happening. We can't move. We're standing at the landing here. We're being prevented from going to the landing to see what's happening downstairs. We have no idea what's happening to the mass of the demonstrators. Approximately 200 people are directly below us, but we're being prevented from seeing what's being done to them. We can hear sounds of fighting, pushing, shoving. I think I can can safely say that most of the damage which has occurred in University Hall has occurred since the police entered the building. They're calling now for the third squad. Apparently this has been rehearsed and thought of quite carefully. We hear sounds of fighting, shouting, and pushing downstairs, but as we said, we don't know what's going on downstairs. We're going to stay with you until we're moved out of the building, until Dean Ford and the rest of the deans come out. The state police are coming down from the third floor now. They're starting to move on the first floor. Pardon me, sir? Are you going to be using tear gas on the demonstrators on the first floor, sir?
Oh, no, I don't believe
no tear gas is going to be used. All right, they're starting to move the demonstrators from the first floor down. I'm going to stay on the air here as long as I possibly can. Apparently, the rest of the WHRB press people are being moved out of the building. I'm going to try and stay here. Please watch the cable. I'm going to try and stay here as long as I'm allowed.
Congratulations. Circulating around the crowd, people who appear to be troublemakers, most of them have long hair, are being led toward the police vans
okay.
as well. The MTA buses are pulling out. Now a group of approximately 150 to 200 demonstrators are shouting, Pusey
Dave,
must
get
go.
Get those other phones, please.
The last of the
green line, right
the
in
vans
there.
Which are carrying the demonstrators off are marked Newton Police Department. The MTA buses, which had the state police
hold
in
that,
them, are moving off. I'm going to remain inside the building, broadcasting live, until some of the administration officials come upstairs. I have a strong suspicion that members of the administration are going to be coming up here shortly to survey the damage. I'll see if I can't talk to them when they come upstairs. Most of the demonstrators have been cleared. They're waving off the buses. The marks of the tires can be seen in the yard. The plainclothesmen remain. I'd say approximately 150 to 200 demonstrators are still standing outside in the yard. I'm broadcasting from Dean Franklin Ford's office. You can hear state policemen moving around behind me. There goes a van marked Arlington Police Department. It's full of demonstrators with an Arlington police officer riding on the back. They're moving out of the yard. Here comes the MTA buses, which chartered from the MTA, which are going to carry demonstrators. There are more demonstrators being led out of the south entrance of University Hall. I see Dean Epps down there. Dean Glimp and Dean Ford are also in view. Apparently, they'll be coming in here very shortly. As soon as they come in, we'll be able to talk.
We have some
state police officers. Gentlemen, can you tell me when you got the order to go? No, they're motioning to me that they're not going to make any kind of statement at all. Looking about another window right now, the crowd on the other side appears to be a great deal larger, perhaps several hundred students who are shouting, Rotzi must go. I think you'll find there'll be no damage in here, gentlemen. State policemen walking about the office. The telephone has been pushed to the floor in the commotion, but that is really about the extent of the damage in Dean Ford's office. That's where WHRB has been set up.
Bob?
The local policemen are set up in a cordon around University Hall. There's a group of demonstrators, obviously people who are not inside the building. They're gone. Not the people who are on the steps. They're gone as well.
Bob, can
These
you hear me?
These people are standing about on the outside shouting, Pusey must go. A few of the demonstrators are moving forward, shouting to the police officers, trying to explain to them what their case is. I certainly don't believe they're going to have much success. I'm being motioned by the state police officers that that's it. They're disconnecting one of my cables. This is Bob Luskin from University Hall. That's the extent of the coverage. Harvard Confrontation, spring 1969.
196 students are arrested, charged with criminal trespass, and taken to jail.
This is Chris Wallace, WHRB News correspondent. I was reporting to you last from University Hall, but since that time I have been taken, put under arrest, and am in the 3rd District Middlesex County Jail. I was on a very select bus going into this jail. There were 19 people on the bus. Of the 19, 14 were members of the press. 14 people who had been given permission or who had accreditation to be there at the University Hall to cover the riot and who are now under arrest. Included in that group are 7 members of WHRB who were reporting from Dean Ford's office all through the night, as I'm sure many of you know. 3 people from the Yale Daily News who came up from New Haven. 1 member of the Washington Post who has been working in the White House and had recently been working in Paris as a reporter for the Post. 2 people from the Harvard Crimson and 1 from the Boston Globe. As I repeat, 14 of the 19 people on the bus in which I was taken to jail were reporters. As I was leaving University Hall, I happened to go past Dean Watson, and I held up my press card to Dean Watson and said we had permission to be in here. He had known about that. He looked at us and said it'll be all right, but he didn't stop our arrest at that time, and it appears that we're going to be here in the jail, 3rd District, Middlesex County, for a long time before we get out on what appears to be completing a personal reconnaissance. What will happen is that we will go upstairs, speak to the judge. He will, we will enter a plea of not guilty, and he will let us go on personal reconnaissance, which means that we don't have to enter bail. The vast majority of the people are apparently going to be getting freed under that plea. Some others who are charged for more severe crimes, like malicious destruction, one person in this, our jail cell has been charged with that, will have more problem and probably will have to enter some bail. The lawyers are here, lawyers who had offered earlier in the evening to be here, people from Harvard Law School who are legal defenders, and other lawyers who had offered their services to these people. We've heard that there are about 300 prisoners that have been taken in all. I would say there may be 100 or 75 in this little group of three cells, all the girls massed in one. There are about 21 or 2 people in our cell, and then 25 or 6 in the third cell, the last two being consisting only of boys. I am going to have to end this phone call now so that other people can make their one phone call, to which they are allowed. This is Chris Wallace, WHRB News, reporting from Middlesex County Jail in custody.
The police bust is over. 41 students and 7 policemen are hurt. Nearly 200 students arrested. The effect is to anger the moderate students at Harvard. It is the scenario of Columbia with a New England accent. In mid-morning of April 10th, moderates meet at Memorial Church, and what started as an action by a few hundred becomes a campus-wide strike.
It isn't just one man. It isn't just Mr. Pusey. It isn't just somebody who is a nasty person. It's a lot of men who sit on the corporation and who have certain interests, even if they don't beat their wives at night. It's a lot of men. They may not think such nasty thoughts all the time, but they do things that are much, much nastier. And they don't come down to see it. They send their pigs down here to do it for them.
Shut it down!
Shut it down!
Shut it down! That's right.
Okay, we've seen what happens when the power structure of this university feels threatened. They bring the pigs on. How many people here want to shut down this university?